I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter number 13. Psalms and chapter number 13. Psalm chapter number 13. And I hope that in my preaching tonight doesn't sound like a broken record to you. And I hope you don't think that it's my hobby horse. But they told me in Vietnam, or we learned in Vietnam, that if there was an enemy in a foxhole and he wouldn't come out, that if you'd keep throwing in enough smoke grenades in that hole, eventually you would flush it out. The moral of that story is, if you put enough down in the hole, whatever's in it's going to come out. My daddy used to twist out groundhogs. He'd take a stick, an old twisted stick on the end, like a fork on the end, and stick it in that hole and twist it. And that fork would get caught in that groundhog's hide and stuff, and he'd keep twisting and turning. And after a while, he'd get pinching hard enough, but that groundhog would come out of that hole. And so if you keep putting enough smoke in the hole, the problem will come out eventually. And it's just a matter of who's got enough perseverance, the preacher or the folks in the pew. Amen? And I hope that I'm not preaching this message a day late and a dollar short, as the saying goes. But I hope that I'm preaching it in the perfect will of God for us tonight. And it may be no more than a little encouragement for us to look back and see where God maybe has brought us from and what we've been through. I can't say enough about that. I feel so dogmatic about it that we have been there in the absence of our Lord and for a purpose. And I want to try to deal with some of that tonight. Number 13 in the book of Psalms, and I'll say more about this particular psalm and why I'm here after we read the text. David says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I move." Boy, they like to do that. Your enemy will have a ball, buddy, when you fall. Do you know that? You fall, your enemy will have a ball. They'll laugh in your face. And they'll do it. But he said, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Now may the Lord add his blessing. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful again this day for the privilege, Lord, that's mine to stand where I've stood these 13 plus years, do my best to preach the gospel of Christ, and Lord, to preach the word of God to your people, try to be a blessing and an encouragement to them, not sparing, Lord, but rebuke when it's necessary, trying to encourage when that's necessary. And I pray, O Lord, that you'd take the message tonight and use it to our hearts for our good, and may it bring glory to God. May you shed some light upon our needy situation that we have, our needy souls. May you give grace tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to walk in victory with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll bless your people, save old sinners, and may your precious name be glorified. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do for us, because you're worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Now, I want to mention to you why I'm in Psalm 13. And I make no apologies about it. The book of Psalms, to me, is probably the grandest book in all the Bible. And I've read through the book probably more times than I have any other portion of the Word of God. I've found in the book of Psalms that so many times that God has used this book to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And many times when there is a need in my life or a need in the church, I'll resort to the book of Psalms because the Lord has used it so many times to speak to my heart. Now, you look at me kind of strange. I want to say again that the Bible is a living book. And the Lord is able to speak to our hearts through the Word of God. And so many times God has spoken to me out of the book of Psalms. When I find myself in trouble or when I have a special need in my life, I'll go to this particular book. It was when I was in Bible college that I was trying to make a decision about my service for God. And the Lord told me in no uncertain terms out of the book of Psalms that He would grant unto me my request, but He would send leanness to my soul. Now I'm going to say you better be careful how you pray and what you ask God for, because He may give you what you want, but what you wanted may not really be what you needed. And so many times we'll pray for things that we really don't need. And I found out in a hurry from the Word of God that I did not need a travel trailer or a van to go on in my service with God. And I'm going to be honest, I try to find an answer in this book to every question that comes up in my life. And somebody said, "Preacher, you're talking about the big ones." No, I'm talking about all questions. I'll be honest with you, there's nothing big and nothing little in the eyes of God when it comes to His people. We ought to be able to take every need to God, every question of life to Him, and I'll guarantee you there is an answer for that question to be found in the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference how little it may seem to you or how big it may seem to you. If you'll search the Bible, God is able to speak to your heart out of the Bible and give you the answer. And so because of the dryness that we've been in and the drought that we have experienced, we might call it the winter season that we've been passing through. I begin at the first of the week to read through again in the book of Psalms. I begin to look for an answer. And my question was, "Lord, what is the problem in the house of God? Where does the problem lie? And what measure or what steps can God's people take in order to cure the problem that we have?" And I'm going to be honest, I got to chapter 13, and God, without a doubt, He spoke to my heart out of this chapter. And I didn't get another message. I just went back to the Psalms, got out the old message that I taught Sunday school on August the 24th, 1997. Are you listening? God may want me to preach this tonight for no other reason than to tell our church or to remind our church that you were warned, gentlemen, that we were going to be where we are now almost 4 years ago from the Bible, from the preaching of the Word of God. The Holy Ghost told me and told you that we would be exactly where we are tonight at Island Ford Baptist Church. He warned us of the drought to come and the problems that we were going to have. I tell you, we serve a marvelous God. He is able to tell us things before they ever happen and then bring them to pass. And buddy, I camped in that psalm. And God began to deal with my heart. I said, "Well, I'll just look at it and draw thoughts from it." And God said, "No, I want you to preach it." And then after I got the message I preached this morning, I said, "Lord, it's over. It's over. There's no need to preach it." And the Lord said, "Son, it may be over for you, but there yet may be some folks sitting out there that's not got over the hump yet. They may still be living back there in those winter months. And there's not a doubt in my mind that some of you are, amen to God, you're living right back there in those winter months. You didn't listen this morning. I mean, you're going to handle everything on your own, and you don't need God. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, God Almighty told us about it 4 years ago, and God gave us the solution this morning. And if you don't come out of it, you have nobody to blame but yourself. I'll assure you of that. Now, I want to preach tonight on the thought, and I don't know if I use this title when I preach this in Sunday school, but I want to preach tonight for a little while on the song of David's heart. I believe that we find in Psalm 13 the very song of David's heart, the song really of his life. May I say that there's no special event that we can put our finger on in David's life that we can refer to in this psalm. And you men in Sunday school know that the majority of the psalms that David wrote, he dealt with a particular time in his life. He took the experiences of his life and he penned them down in songs to be sang to the people of God, to the nation of Israel. And those songs dealt with his life and the experiences in his life. I want to stop right there and say that most of our modern music today know absolutely nothing about real, godly, holy experiences that people have had with a thrice holy God. Brother, if they can sit down and put some words together and make the last verse the word in the verse rhyme with the verse before it, they have written the song. It doesn't make any difference whether it has any meaning behind it or not, just as long as the lyrics have a rhyme to them. But I'm going to tell you, I'd rather have a song that's got a ring than I would a song that's got a rhyme. Hallelujah to God. I want to listen to some music that is going to feed my soul and nourish my spiritual man on holy things of God. Amen. Brother, most of the junk we're listening to, they ain't fit to listen to. I thought about this morning, I sat up in the room and I just got done studying. I said, I wonder who's on the preaching time at 9 o'clock. And I enjoy listening to Brother Raines and Brother Purser's music that they sang. And so I got up out of my room, went in the other room, sat down there by the radio, and turned it on. And sure enough, Brother Massengale was finishing up. Brother Raines come on, and they begin to sing. And boy, I tell you, it helped my heart. Some of them old hymns and songs that's been around for a while, or some of them that's got a ring to them, a thought behind them, a blessing in them. I tell you, it's a kind of music. I thought, Lord, maybe we ought to write to some of these churches and try to get some music around here. I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with this dead, dry, high death. Some of it we're listening to. It ain't fit to play in a bar room. You can say, amen right there. I wouldn't listen to half of it at home. Amen to God. Yeah, I wouldn't have some of the music at home that we're playing, and it doesn't do a thing, my friend, for my soul or my heart. Hallelujah to God. Amen. But there's nothing in David's life that can be referred to in this song. But it was, I say it was without a doubt, more than once the very song of David's heart. It was the song of David's heart. For as David lived and as David walked through the fire and the testings and the trials that shaped and molded his life, he penned them down in the Bible. I want everybody to look right up here at me. I hope you don't think that I am going to seed on this thing, but I'm here to tell you, friend, what God has been trying to do about the last 3 years. God, my friend, has been trying to shape and mold us and make real Christians out of us. I still hold to the fact that God Almighty wants to send revival to this church. And I hold to the fact that God wants to send latter rain. And I believe that God wants to do a work out yonder in the world in evangelism to see some poor old benighted souls in Madisonville come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of sin.
But I'm telling you, it's going to take a church that's willing to pay the price. It's going to have to take a church that's walking with the character of God. It's going to have to take some people that have been shaped and molded and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to take some spiritual-minded people and not a bunch of carnal-minded dudes. And God has been trying to do that through the trials of our life in these last years. I wonder if it's accomplished anything. I wonder if we've learned anything. You know, it's odd that David wrote about the time he ran from Saul. I mean, there's everything in the Psalms you can find about the trial that David had with the king of Israel and how he behaved himself wisely, how he refused to put his hand on God's man. There's stories about David when he was down in the land of the Philistines, as he lived in a strange land. There's Psalms about Absalom's uprising. There is Psalms about Amnon and Tamar. There is songs that he wrote about every aspect of his life. I'm here to tell you, friend, if you'll read them, God, David had his ups and David had his downs in life. And our problem is that we're down and some of you don't want to get up. I tell you, you need to get a little crit in your grit in your crawl and by the grace of God, say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk again. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm not about to let this thing get me down. I'm going to get up and go on with God. My sister wrote us a little old letter over at the house. And she said, Pop don't seem to be doing too good. But said, you know how Pop is. Said, he's a tough old bird. But he is a tough old bird. He ain't going to lay down and play dead up in that nursing home. He's going to keep on kicking, buddy, as long as there's breath in his lungs. Amen to God. As long as he's got enough air in his lungs to breathe and live, he's going to keep on fighting it. Now I'm telling you, what some of you need is to get a little grit in your craw and start fighting it, bless your heart, rather than yielding to it and giving in to it and letting the devil have a heyday and a victory in your life. I'd kick him in the seat of the pants. Amen to God. I'd kick him in the seat of the pants, boot him out in the middle of the street, and send him down the road, as my daddy used to say, talking to himself. That's right. I've heard my daddy say, boy, that I'll kick you in the seat of the pants right out in the middle of the road and send you down the road mumbling to yourself, young man. That's what some of you need to do to the devil. You've listened to him. He's about got you whooped. He's told you you're not fit for service. That's right. He's told you that you'll never do anything for God, that you're worthless, that you're dumb and ignorant, don't know how to do anything for God, and you are stupid enough to listen to what he's trying to tell you. I'm telling you, friend, the trials that God has brought us through, God has brought us to this point to teach us to lean upon him and to trust him in his grace, that the fact is that through him we can do all things. Amen. Now, if this man of God, David, was a man who was after God's own heart, huh? And if he encountered periods of despair as the fire of God consumed the dross in his life, then you and I, my friend, just we might as well expect that it's going to come to us too. That's exactly what God was doing with David in this psalm. It was the song of his heart. Found himself in trouble again. Oh, I tell you, that old country and western song that they used to sing, forgive me for this, but they used to sing it all the time, Lord, here I am, I'm drunk again. But I'm telling you, old David's psalm and the song of his heart was, here I am, Lord, I'm in trouble again. I'll guarantee you, if we talk about Job, the brother, old brother David, had trouble after trouble. It was like the woes in the book of Revelation. One woe passeth, and behold, another woe cometh quickly. Now I'm telling you, that is life, my friend. There's ups and there's downs, there's trials and there's blessings, there's good times and there's hard times, and it's in the hard times that God has prepared you while you're down in the valley with him. Now listen to me. We won't get to where I want to go in a minute. I want you to notice this.
four times in the first two verses. Four times in the first two verses, David said, how long? How long? Come on in the house, children. Here is a, hey, here, and here is a thing. Look here now. David said in verse 1, how long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? David felt like God had forgotten him. And yet, the only thing in David's life that ever displeased God was his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and the fact that he had Uriah the Hittite murdered. Oh, can you get a hold of that? Here is a man that had felt like that God had forsaken him, felt like God had departed, that God was gone and would never, never return. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? Have you completely forgotten that I'm in this predicament of life? Don't you know my heart's cold? Don't you know, Lord, that I'm walking a fighting opposition? The devil on every hand, the world's all around me, the flesh won't let up, and I'm fighting trouble, and Lord, you've forgotten me. Where are you, God? I won't tell you, he's right where he's always been, on the throne, hallelujah, high, lifted up, and if you get your eyes off of you, and off of the world, and set your eyes upon Christ, you'll see him on the throne, high, lifted up. That's right. That's your heart. Amen. How long will you forget me, Lord? Will you forget me forever? That second, how long? How long will thou hide thy face from me? Where are you at, God? I'm like Job, Lord. I looked on the right and the left hand behind in front of me. I couldn't find you nowhere. I looked for your face, but it seemed to be hid. Will you remove the covering, Lord? And let your countenance, let your face shine upon me again. There's one of the Psalms that says, let thy countenance or let thy face shine upon thy people and they shall be saved. You know what it means for God to hide His face? David is saying, Lord, where's your favor? Lord, where's your grace? It seemed like God's grace and God's favor is gone. For when God hides His face from His people, my friend, that's a sign that the favor of God has been taken away from us. Amen. You're going to deprive me of grace forever, Lord. Huh? How long you going to hide your face? How long you going to forget me forever? Some of y'all feel that way tonight. Feel like you're forgotten, feel alone. Feel like nobody cares, feel like you're defeated by your enemy. Do you really feel that way? What about that third? How long shall I take counsel in my own soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? You know what he's saying? How long shall I get my wisdom from me? My God, I'm telling you what. How long should I seek counsel in my own heart? How long do I have to answer all the questions myself and fail to get them from you, O God? Let me ask you something. When was the last time that you sat down and asked God to show you something? When was the last time you took the Bible and said, Lord, here's the problem, here's the need, and I will not let go until you answer it for me? Lord, I'm tired of asking myself the question and then listening to my own mind try to answer it. I'm going to tell you, your mind is confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Son, if you listen to your mind and what it's got to say, you'll be so confused, you won't know up from down. The only absolute, concrete truth that we have is in the Bible. It doesn't matter whether the devil, my friend, flies around your mind and fills your mind full of thoughts. Let the devil go on back to hell. He's headed there anyway. Pick up the Word of God and let God take that book and give you counsel out of the Bible rather than counsel out of your own heart. All thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. Huh? You know where some of you get counsel? From the ungodly. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
That's what the book says, isn't it? Where you been getting your info from? Who you been talking to? Where you young people, who do you sit down and talk with to get all your input? I'd be careful. You ever listen to Sister Hall's song? She wrote it while Ron Garris was a preaching here. I forget what it all goes, but it's something like, there's an altar that you can go to, and Christ is always there. You can go down to the house of God and worship and find Him there. And the lady ran to the man of God. Hey, what's wrong with the man of God that God's given some of you? I'm going to tell you where some of you want to run to everybody except the preacher. You'll try to sort out things in your bewildered mind, and the devil, hey, folks, my mind, and I'm not throwing off on you, my mind is the same way. Son, I go home and sit down in the chair, and the first thing the devil jumps up and says, hey, do you know them people over there sick of your preaching? Why, your best thing you could do is resign next Sunday and get away from that bunch of morons. They don't love you. They care nothing for you. They ain't a praying for you. And they ain't a listening to you. And they've heard all of you they want to hear. Why don't you just give up? I'm going to tell you what, friend. If I listened to the devil, I'd have been gone. If I listened to the thoughts that were in my mind, I'd have been gone from here. But I ain't about to listen to that idiot. Or nobody else. I get my counsel out of that book. So this time, some of you learn. You've grown in grace enough that you learn that God will enlighten your heart and mind from that Bible. Where some of you get your counsel? Sister Sally Wiggles, y'all.
I'll do about you.
Some of you women can't wait to run to another woman.
I know what I'm doing.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. There ain't another woman in this church can give you wise counsel. Not real wise counsel. They might give you some assistance in some areas. And I would say that if you need it, I believe my wife would be the good one to go to. And by the way, not another pastor or not another pastor's wife. I've got news for you. Are you listening to me? When you got in this local body, God gave you a preacher over you. And that preacher knows more about you than any other preacher in all this world knows, buddy. And you'd do wise to come to the man of God that God has set you under. And if you've got personal needs, you ladies, I'm going to say my wife's sitting right over. Huh? Come on, boy. I believe I'm right in that hole. I might be right there where I was at this morning. I told Miss Hall we left, Brother Mark. I said, we got smoke down in the hole this morning. All of the liberty that I had, I am more confident than ever that somebody in this assembly is ticked off at the preacher. That's why I'm going to get them books on wolves. You better watch your wolf. They like some of them old dogs. They'll come up and lick you on the leg. You'll think they're sweet as sugar, and they'll bite the fire out of you. I'm telling you, it's there. Oh, the Holy Ghost can find it. It's there. Boy, it's got quiet now. Got some of you smiling it wasn't, though. I'm glad of that, thank God. Where you get your counsel?
Come on in the house, children. He said, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Do you understand what David said? Now, y'all ain't left me already. I hope to God, if you have, we'll just quit. Hey, David said, the enemy hath gotten victory over me. How long will the enemy defeat me? How long will this go on? No victory. How much longer, Lord, do I have to serve God without real victory in my heart? I'm going to tell you what, I'm a feeling a nudge from another world. Amen. You can like it, lump it, buckwheat, or whatever you want to do, jump the picket fence, whatever you want to do. But I'm here to tell you, there's more liberty around here tonight than they've been in a long time. Somebody said, what's going on? It's over! It's like I said this morning, buddy. It's preaching time at the old house of God again, son. And God has done put the liberty back in the house of God. Oh, yes, sir. It's over! Go on and preach on that one again. I like that one. What I want to know is how long y'all going to let your enemy whoop up on you. I wouldn't do that. There's an altar you can go to. You'll always find him there. You have a problem about the house of God. He's ordained it to meet with us. The man of God will help you. I love you. Some of you will learn one of these days that I love you. Warts and all, I love you. It don't make any difference what you've done, how bad you are. It don't make any I love you. It don't make, hey, if you're down on yourself, you feel like that you just ain't worthy of it, I still love you. If you ain't never cut a blade of grass, I still love you. God, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm learning to love you more. I've been begging God to help you. I'm just being honest. I've asked God and wept and cried and pleaded and begged and prayed and sought the face of God and begged God, my friend, to lift the load that some of you are carrying, to get the burden out of your heart, that the doorbell might ring once again down in your soul. And I believe it's a-coming. Oh, I believe it's a-coming. I want to ask you something. I believe we all ought to get on the altar in the next few weeks and beg God to give Angie a baby. Oh, you talking about ringing the joy? You talking about ringing the joy? Oh, the joy bells at ringside if God would lift that bag for her.
Amen. Yes, sir. Don't be
down. That's right. I told Miss Alden when we left here this morning, I said, boy, I said, I think Patty got her bucket full this morning and Angie V back there got hers full. I don't know how many more folks did, but I think both of them got pretty good dogs. Huh? I seen some of you smiling. They smiled a while. I told Miss Hall, said, I think Sharon F. back there, Sharon Smith, I said, I think she got a little help. Hallelujah to God. Why, Brother Hall, it's over. Son, how long? Ain't that where we're living? How long, God? How long, God? How long, God? How long, God? Now look here. What I see in these verses, verses 1 and 2, I see David's pain. Oh, can you get a hold of the pain that he felt like he had been forsaken? He felt all alone. He even felt defeated by his enemy. I'm whipped. I'm defeated. My God, how long will my enemy exalt themselves over me? How long will you hide your face? How long do I have to seek counsel in my own bosom? How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? Will you not ever come back, Lord? Oh, I'm telling you, I see real pain in there. Are some of you there, or have you been there? If you've been there, you ought to say amen, because God has said it's over. Hallelujah to God. And if you're there, why don't you get up now and get on an altar where God can help you and find some help from God. Amen. Hallelujah. You see that pain? God gave me this verse of Scripture several years ago when we was really going through a battle in the church. Listen, in Isaiah 54, verses 7 and 8, God said, for a small moment have I forsaken thee. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. But with great mercies will I gather thee.
Son, I'm telling you, that's making goosebumps hit me hard. Hallelujah to God. If there's a knot raised up on my back, that's not pin feathers, that's a goosebump. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Did you get a hold of that? For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face. David said, how long will you hide your face? God said, in my wrath, God said, I was angry, but my anger will not endure forever. God says that. Yes, sir. In wrath, he said, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Hallelujah to God. God gave me that several years ago when we was going through one of the bitterest trials this church has ever had. God said, I've left you for a little while, but hang on, son. He said, I'm going to gather you all back together and said, my kindness will never depart again. Now I really believe, hey, I think things is getting ready to happen. I believe God set an open door I've set before you. I believe God said that the sun is shining again and the dark clouds are rolled away and I'm gathering you back again. But it'll be this time with everlasting mercy, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. I believe God's coming in to settle in, and when He settles in, we're going to see great things from the hand of God. Oh, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that we ever ask or think. We've got a God that can send dew from heaven. We got a God that can give us holy manna to feed our souls. We got a God that can put our homes and marriages, my friend, on a solid rock. We got a God that can save our children. We got a God that can save our in-laws and our outlaws and all the other laws. We've got a God that can do great miracles. Ain't that right? There's some folks that's left this church that I'd like to see get thoroughly right with God. Somebody said, oh, they can't do it. Is there anything too hard for God? He can put life in a dead womb and raise the dead from a grave. Don't tell me God can't. Our problem is not believing. Not trusting. No faith. Oh, ye of little faith, Jesus said. How long will I suffer you? God, help us. God can do some things for you. Real things for mom and pop. God can do things for mom and pop. God can do things for mama's brother and sister. See, y'all just think old Brother Hall is an old hard-hearted dude. But I love people. And I weep over people. And I've got enough faith to believe God can do some things around here. Do you? God settle in on this place? I believe God can do something to your mom and daddy. I'm talking about you. Yep. Oh, somebody said, no, they're madder than wet hornets now. But I know a God that can tame them, my friend. We just don't have enough confidence in what God's able to do. Hallelujah. I'm just going to have to read part of this, I reckon. In David's pain, we see God's departure. He was in pain because God had departed from him. How long? Four times. God's gone. How long? In his departure. But now listen to this. I want you to listen as I read this. I know as night and shadows are good for flowers, and moonlight and dew are better than a continual sun. Can you imagine what flowers would be like if they never had anything but sunlight? They shrivel up and dry up to nothing. But God in His mercy lets the clouds roll in, and the night season come and the dew falls on the flowers and waters.
and the sun comes up the next morning and brings the dew, brings the dew up through the little flowers and nourishes their little petals. Now I'm going to tell you, friend, flowers, a garden cannot grow with continual sunlight. It's got to have a little bit of night season for some dew on it. And I'm telling you, my friend, so it is in Christ's absence. Christ uses absence of special use, that it has some real nourishing virtue for you and I. That night season is there. Hey, in it, God, here's what a preacher said. He said, God, these night seasons, that God give us sight to humility. I'm going to tell you what God's departure will do for you, buddy, and a little pain. It'll humble you down, make you, hey, big daddy, big britches. You'll find out you ain't such a big daddy, big britches you think you are. We ain't near as macho, buddy. It's what we really think we are. Oh, if God just withdraws from us in a little distance, we'll get all nervous and bent out of shape and wonder where God is. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what part of hell it's going to be. Absence of God. No God. None at all. No God. No God. And I'm going to tell you, God's absence in a Christian's life can be like hell on earth. That's right. Might teach us a little bit of humility. That's right. Amen. It'll help our... It'll put a little edge on our hunger. It should. Or if you're really saved, now you hear me well. If you're really a saved Christian, these days that we've went through ought to create a hunger in your heart for God. David said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Why would David pine after something that he had with him? God was gone bye-bye. Where are you at, God? Brother Wayne said it this morning, as my heart thirsteth for thee, as in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Why did David thirst for it? God wasn't around. He couldn't find him. Oh, that night season had rolled in. But I'm here to tell you, friend, God puts us there for our good and for the glory of God, that He might bless us with faith. And I'm here to tell you, if you are really a saved child, I said, if you are saved, and you may not be born again, but I'm telling you, a saved person cannot come to church service in and service out where no God's around and be satisfied that way. I'm hungry. I'm thirsting. If you're satisfied without God being around, I suggest you check up, Buckwheat. You're probably lost. Come on in the house, young'uns. I won't charge you nothing for that. That's like saying you can sit down at your supper table every night and sit down and say, I can sit down and say, Sister Hall, what's for supper tonight? Oh, nothing again. Well, praise God for it. Hallelujah, I love nothing. There ain't nothing like nothing. Son, I love rabbit track stew and wind pudding. Best thing I ever eat. Next night you come in, Miss Hall, what are we having for supper tonight? Oh, I hate to tell you this, but having the old leftovers. Nothing. Leftover nothing. Praise God, I love leftover nothing. No, it wouldn't be long, buddy. I'm going to tell you, when I sit down and say, what's for supper? And she said nothing, I'd say, nothing. I'm hungry. I'm going to have a bite of food. Same way with John. Well, every night I go home on Sunday night, telephone rings, three or four preachers. How'd it go today? I said, I ain't going to lie, it was better than 4 o'clock in the morning tonight. But I can't say that tonight.
Amen.
It's over.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Brother Ricky come by me back there this morning. He said, preacher, he said, you'll be so sore in the morning you won't be able to get out of bed. I said, why? He said, the way you jumped and twisted and jerked and carried on in there this morning. I said, praise God, I like it when it's that way.
Amen.
Hunger. Hey, His absence, His departure ought to make us hungry for Him. If it doesn't, my friend, if it doesn't create an appetite, I suggest we check up. We may not be a child of Almighty God.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to say it puts a fair field of faith. It'll help us. Our faith. It puts forth itself. to exercise its finger. Look here, look here. Just exercise its finger in gripping, it seeth not what. God said, hey, Samuel Rutherford said, when God has departed from us, and yet by faith, like that little girl did in the Song of Solomon, it said that what little faith we have, that little finger of faith, will reach out and grip that which we cannot even see. Son, you may not like that, but boy, I like it. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, oh, that's blind faith. Oh, no, that ain't blind faith. She just followed him from the last place she saw him. Now, you're about to get tired, and so I'm... And you don't develop faith in the sunlight. Son, God will depart from you. Oh, yes, to prove your faith, my friend, and to test your faith, and to strengthen your faith, and to increase your faith in Him. That's right. And that little finger will just reach out in the dark and get a hold of it. Amen to God. Not only pain in God's departure, but God's delays. He said, how long, Lord, how long will Thou hide Thy face from me? Not how long will You forget me. Now You're thinking about me, but Your face is hid. You got your Bibles open? I'm trying to teach you something. God's delays, as God's departure from us has a great purpose, so His delays in returning. He may not return when you think He ought to, but His delays in returning has got a purpose behind them also. I want to say, number one, His delays in returning will purify us. Somebody said, how can that be? The gold which is long in the fire must have much dross to consume. And the longer you're in the fire, the purer you become. Can you get a hold of that? Is there anybody listening to Brother Hall tonight? Somebody ought to say amen if you are. Amen to God. The longer you're in that fire, friend, the purer, more pure, the purer you're going to become. The more dross He's going to burn. And I'm going to tell you, the longer you're in the fire, the less you'll be in it down the road somewhere. I remember going to the doctor one time. He said, son, he said, you've got to have 4 shots. He said, I want you to come back, give you one today, and come back once every week, and I'll give you one a week. I said, no, doc, we ain't coming on that once a week. I said, burn me up and get it over with. He said, drop your drawers. Okay. But you know what? I got the whole load in one shot. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's right. I mean, I got her all in one time. 4 shots in one round, it was over. Now, I'm here to tell you, if you'll stay in the fire, just stay in the fire this time. God may God purge you. You may not have to go through it again. Amen. That's right. I'm going to say God purifies us. God teaches us by His delays. It's not under the... Hey, it's now listen carefully. It's not under the sharpest trial, but the longest that people are in the most danger of fainting. I want to read this to you. When Job was struck with evil tidings in quick succession in chapter 1, he bare up with becoming fortitude. His wife said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you just talk like a foolish woman. I got my mind made up. But as the trial wore on, and wore on, Job's patience began to wear thinner and thinner. And Job grew tireder and tireder and wearier and wearier. And long in the back of that book, old Job's just about taken all he can take. But I'm going to tell you, I think I'll take a lap. When he had taken all that he could take, guess who come in on the scene? See, the three friends running their mouth, and then that little young punk. I'm getting so sick of young punks. Son, there's a theologue. I'm talking about a 23-year-old theologue got up and theologued me for 2 hours down there the other day. And and he said, we're getting ready to shout now. I said, shout on, buddy. I ain't heard nothing to shout about. You know what young folk do? All interpretation. They never give an illustration or make application. And preaching takes all three of them. Hallelujah. But right there about the end, Brother Doug, when that little young punk got done saying what he wanted to say, God said, now you four men sit down. Me and Job going to communicate now.
That's right. Amen.
And God began to deal with old Job.
In that last chapter, the Bible said, and when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity. You know what he done? Hey, and look here, and we have seen the end of the Lord, that he is of tender mercy. He's tender.
Amen.
Salt in the life of Job. Son, he gave Job twice back everything he had. What a wonderful God, wonderful God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying through the trial, God purges and God teaches. But God will also bless you. Once you're through it, you will find out that your life is so much richer and sweeter and more precious and more blessed than it's ever been. And He'll add to you, oh, it may not be in worldly things and tangible things like Job had, but my friend, it'll be in spiritual virtues and graces and faith and hope and blessing and courage and strength that you never knew you had. God wants you to grow. God wants this church to grow. God wants you spiritually sound and grow that you can fight off the temptation. Walk through the trials. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I want to say this. The Lord knows just when to deliver us. Huh? You realize in Mark 6:48 when that storm came and those boys were out on that sea of rowing, you know what time Jesus came to them? Storms was in the fourth watch of the night. And the fourth watch of the night, I believe, between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. The darkest hour. God knows just when to come. He teaches us to persevere. He teaches us to persevere. Though thou delayest to give, that thou mayest teach me to be, yet big word, importunate, or whatever it is. Thou seemest not to hear, to make me persevere. God seems not to hear, that He might make you persevere. And keep on serving Him. Then I've got to hurry with these. I see David's pain. I see David's prayer in verses 3 and 4. He said, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I move. David's prayer. He cried to God. Cried in faith. He said, O Lord my God. O Lord my God. Not somebody else's God, but my God. Huh? He cried for understanding. He said, lighten mine eyes. Let me understand, Lord, what I'm going through. It is not wrong to ask God for understanding when you're going through these times of trouble. Ask Him, lighten mine eyes. He prayed for unction to prevail against his enemy. Huh? I'm about done if you won't leave me. And then I see the in verses 5 and 6, we see David's pain, verses 1 and 2, David's prayer, verses 3 and 4, and David's praise in verse 5 and 6. He said, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. You know what he meant there for salvation? He said, I know you're going to deliver me, Lord. Can you get that kind of confidence tonight that God's going to deliver you? I hope so. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Now, he just said in verses 1 and 2 that God had done forgotten him, hid His face from him, wouldn't speak to him, and let his enemies whoop up on him. Huh? Now, wouldn't it be something, let's just say if little Rick there, which I hope he never is, but say he was out in public school, and he come home one day and he had his nose butted and he said, Daddy, that boy down there at school beat up on me. And Brother Ricky said, it's all right, son, don't worry. Don't worry about it. I know, but you'll whip him. You'll win this battle. Daddy's always whooped up on me. Oh, but you won the battle. Daddy, he punched me in the nose. I'm bleeding, but son, I'm telling you, you won the battle. Maybe he goes again the next time. The guy just brushes his cheek and he comes home and he's got a little place on his cheek. But the third time, little Rick hangs the mojo. Are you listening to me? We may lose a battle every now and then, friends, but I'm telling you what God's telling him. The victory is ours.
Amen.
God will deliver
I want to read this statement and I'm closing. I read this to our men. I want to read it to you. Well, let me just read this first. It's just a little statement. What a change. Winter with its dark and gloomy days is now past. Spring is come and the birds are singing. I want you to listen to these words. And I'm closing. These words were spoken by John Philpott. And he was imprisoned in a coal house of the Bishop of London. He was a Christian that was put in prison. And listen what he says. John Philpott said, "Believe me, there is no such joy in the world as the people of God have under the cross of Christ." And the reason some of you are so sad and just grieve, the reason you're bored tonight, you don't want nothing to do with that cross. You don't want nothing to do with the trial. He said, "I speak by experience, and therefore believe me, and fear nothing that the world can do unto you. For when they imprison our bodies, they set our souls at liberty to converse with God. When they cast us down, they really lift us up. And when they kill us, they do but send us to everlasting joy." What can this world do to us? What are we to fear? Who do we to fear? How long, Lord? How long? How long? How long? How long? David said, "He'll deliver. God will bring us out of it. He'll bring us through." Let's stand together.